Good morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to our Sunday School Hour this morning at Calvary Baptist Church of Treherne. If you take your hymn books and turn to number 212. 212, Nothing But the Blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful this morning that we can be reminded of the fact that it is the blood of thy Son that needs to be applied to our hearts for us to be forgiven and saved. We're thankful that we don't need to actually touch that blood. We don't need to see it. We simply need to trust in thee, knowing that thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, did shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. He presented that blood before thee in heaven, and he is seated on thy right hand and interceding for us today. We're thankful for each one that is listening that has been cleansed by that blood. We pray for others who need that cleansing yet today, that they might see their need to humble themselves, to turn to thee in repentance and be forgiven and saved. We pray for our country of Canada, for the great need of salvation in this country, for our political people, politicians, that they might see their need to repent and know thee, our doctors and nurses, many policemen as well who are lost. Pray for that policewoman who tried to interfere with our service a couple of years ago, still in defiance. And pray for the judge that is preparing to hear the case against me. Just pray that they would be saved. Pray that thou wouldst guide me, that I would be faithful and honor thee and have wisdom in what I say, that a clear testimony of thy goodness and grace would be given in that courtroom. We do pray for thy will to be done in regard to the run-up to the American election for president. We know that corruption has taken over in both of our countries. And we know that the last election was stolen, and we pray that thy will be done. We know that thou art the one that puts kings in places and takes down kings. And we know that the United States is a wicked country, many religious people promoting heresies publicly and into great masses of people, and most people are flocking to the liars. We do pray for the Christian pastors in Canada and United States, that each one would be bold and willing to step into the pulpit and not be politicians, but to be preachers of the word, speak with conviction, giving the people the opportunity to see that the truth is important and necessary for all people. We do continue to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that Mr. Netanyahu would be saved and many others as they have intensified their attacks against Hezbollah. We do pray that many soldiers and others would get saved in these days of grace. And we do pray for the Arab countries around Israel who have such a hatred for thee. We pray that many of them would get saved, that the gospel would be presented to them. We do pray for those evangelists that go to those countries, that they would not be lacking in boldness, but that they would want to speak the truth and not be deceivers, but help those people to know the truth. We realize that the Muslims do not have much tolerance for truth, but we know that we have a God who is bigger than any false religion. And so we pray that those that are called of thee to preach the word would be faithful to thee, just as Peter and John and the Apostle Paul were, that we would not be ashamed of the truth, but we would stand up and proclaim it clearly and help people to know the truth. We ask thy will be accomplished in regard to the Dick's housing needs, and that thy will be done there. They've had several people looking, and the ad is out there. We pray for thy will to be accomplished, that the right person would arrive there and purchase that place, and that they would get everything organized to move and find a place in Alberta, that thy will would be done there. We do pray that thy will be accomplished in Ken's life and Tom's lives and life, that they would see the need to be here to learn the truth and to be saved, to know thy peace and blessing in their hearts. We thank thee that we can broadcast into other countries. We pray for our Zoom meetings in the Philippines. We thank thee for those that join us. We pray for each one that they would see the importance of truth and see that they need the truth in their own hearts and lives. We do pray that we can be a help to them, and pray that the Amates would allow thee to direct them in their plans. Thy will be accomplished in their lives. We ask that thou wouldst guide us here. May we glorify thee today in all that is said and done here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 11, verse 30.
For my yoke is easy, my burden is light.
For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew 11:30.
Okay, for next week, Genesis 1, verse 1. And you have to be careful to pay attention to the words there, because a lot of the perversions have changed that verse. Good morning, Jeremy. ready to learn a new verse today? Yeah? Are you going to learn it? Yeah, that's good. You have a good memory. You just need to use it for good things, right? Just like we all do. So we're going to go to John chapter 10 today. And we're going to go to verse 14. So that's your new verse we're going to work on for a couple of weeks. Okay, look at me here now. Okay, John 10, verse 14. I am the good shepherd. Okay, the good shepherd. Keep looking. Oh, sorry. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of them, and am known of them. Okay, so that's your verse for the next couple of weeks. John chapter 10, verse 14. Here you go. So we have a variety today. You know what they say? Variety is the spice of life. So somebody gets to choose the gummies, and somebody gets to choose these other things. So which one's it going to be, Abigail? What do you say?
Thank you.
You're welcome. It's important to keep our eyes on what's going on in Europe and the Middle East. The Ukrainian government, which is run by a Nazi sympathizer, he's a Jew. Interestingly, he's a Jew, but he's a Nazi sympathizer. Those two terms don't go together, but that's what he is. He was a comedian before he ran for president and became the president. Anyway, he has been asking for a while to be able to use the weapons that are being shipped to his country from the West. He wants to use them to shoot into Russia, not just to protect Ukrainian territory, but to go on the offensive and shoot into Russia. And he has been doing that with short-range weapons for the past month or two. And now he is getting permission to use long-range rockets that can reach Moscow. Russia, last couple of days, they have flown some of their jets close to Alaska into Alaskan airspace. And the U.S. has had to scramble some of their planes up into the air to keep those jets out of their territory. But Russia has threatened that if the United States allows their rockets to be used to fire against Russia, that Russia is going to wipe out Kiev, which is the capital of Ukraine, first of all, and then attack the U.S. as well. So this is, in reality, it is a world war, has been for a while already, because the West and Europe have been supplying weapons to Ukraine. They haven't had soldiers on the ground fighting, but they have been supplying weapons. Ukraine does not have enough weapons to fight this war on their own. And much of the world is supplying them with weapons and money, billions of dollars in this war so far. So it is already a world war, and it seems to be increasing in intensity. Then also in Israel, just recently, Israel has intensified its attack on Lebanon. The Lebanese forces have been shooting rockets towards Israel, and a couple of them, one of them got through into central Israel, one somewhere else, can't remember where now. The Israelis are not sure how that rocket got through its air defenses, but it did. And so Israel is intensifying their attacks against Lebanon right now. So that's also a major ignition point for further trouble, and also causing the world to come more into a panic state. And the Western world in particular is backing away from Israel more and more. Protests are arising across the United States and Canada in favor of Hamas and Hezbollah, and the governments are not stopping them. In the United States, I don't remember which state it was now, but there was a protest, I think it was on Friday, on the streets. One side of the street had the pro-Hamas protesters, the other side had pro-Israeli protesters. One of the Hamas protesters didn't like what he saw on the other side, ran across the busy street in the midst of traffic and started beating up a U.S. veteran who was pro-Israeli. The veteran, in self-defense, pulled out his pistol and shot the man, and the veteran has been arrested. So that tells you where they're at. You can't defend yourself if you stand up for Israel, but you can attack if you are pro-Hamas. So things are heating up all the time, and we need to keep our eyes and ears open, looking into the sky and listening for that trumpet call. It could be any day. And then also, the last 5 days, Elon Musk, Starlink, have had a rocket up in space. They were the highest that anybody, any man, any rocket with humans on it has traveled into space in 50 years. And they did a spacewalk. Two of the people, they're not NASA astronauts, they're civilians employed by Elon Musk's Starlink organization. And the two of them, they designed a new spacesuit. They showed it. It's not nearly as bulky as the ones that they used to use. And they tested them. The only thing is, when they opened up the hatch, the entire spaceship was then had no oxygen in it, and the atmospheric air, or whatever you want to call it, from space was in that spacecraft, because it didn't have a separate part of the capsule where the astronauts that were going out could go first and then go into space. But it worked well. The suits worked well. And they landed again last night in the Gulf of Mexico, a very successful trip. So Elon Musk has a lot of money and a lot of power. Interestingly, Kamala Harris has said if she wins the presidency, she's going to try to interfere with Elon Musk's ambitions, because she's afraid of him because he's got a lot of money. So he can do things that the U.S. government cannot do, because the U.S. government doesn't have good people. They're not hiring good people. That's why their NASA program shut down. They don't have smart enough people to run it. Elon Musk, he is hiring very smart people. They're lost people, but they're smart when it comes to technology, and they are able to design a spacecraft in very short order. Boeing has been around for a long time. Boeing sent a spacecraft up to the International Space Station 2 months ago. It had lots of problems getting up there in the first place, And then after it got up there, it developed more problems, and so they finally sent it back to Earth last week without the astronauts on it because they were scared for their safety. So it came back, and Elon Musk, with one of his Starlink ships, is going to have to rescue those two astronauts next February. So instead of them being up there for 8 weeks or eight days, they're going to be up there for 8 months. Quite a difference. That's a little bit worse even than your COVID thing in the Philippines. So interesting things are going on. Elon Musk has developed his spacecraft in such a way that when the booster is done firing, it comes back down and it lands on a ship. And it has done so successfully a number of times already, so it can be reused. It doesn't get destroyed, it can get reused. And the capsule itself, where the astronauts were in, it came down and landed in the Gulf of Mexico. Four parachutes opened up as it was coming down. You could watch it on the internet. And it landed with a very soft landing and stayed upright, which they didn't know if it would or not, but it did. And the astronauts are out. So things are continuing to happen in our world, not for God's glory, not according to God's purposes. I shouldn't say that, purposes, and not according to what God would want, because these people are going up and not knowing God. They're still trying to figure out how our world came into being, which Genesis 1 tells us how it came into being. But a lot is happening, both on the ground and in space. It's interesting to me, even as they were demonstrating these new spacesuits, Elon Musk is talking about traveling to the moon and to Mars and setting up colonies up there. But think about it. Anybody that goes up there has to wear that spacesuit all the time. So what's the point? Why would you want to go up there? And you're restricted. Even if you build a capsule that you can live in, like the space station up there, you're restricted to that. You can't go anywhere else. So I guess the people in favor of 15-minute cities, they would like it up there because you're confined to the walls of that thing. You can't go outside because as soon as you're outside, you're dead. So I don't see the point of it, but obviously they do. Wasting time and energy and finances, and in the meantime, dying and going to hell. So, but all of these things point to the fact that knowledge is increasing on the earth, but not the knowledge of God. And that's the problem. Truth has fallen in the street, as the prophet, I can't remember which one says that now, but in the Old Testament talks about truth has fallen in the street. And that's what's happening today. So places like this are very important, that we can not just meet here, but we can also broadcast and seek to help others to consider the truth in these days of grace. We're in 1 Peter chapter 1. We've been looking at the inspiration of the scriptures for the last while. A very important subject, which our world does not accept. Most of what is called Christendom. Christendom is a term that simply talks about religion. It doesn't say that Christendom are all Christians. In fact, they're not Christians. But it's a term that has been developed to speak of people who are religious and talk about a Jesus, but not the Jesus. And so Christendom doesn't believe that God's word is inspired. If they did, we wouldn't have over 100 perversions of it, because if God inspired it, then it's accurate. It doesn't need to be changed. We don't need to try to find more of it, because he's told us he's finished in Revelation 22:21. There's no more around. And so what they are doing is they are scrounging around to try to find what they consider to be scripture, which is not scripture. It's corrupted. So it's not God's word. And they are developing more and more Bibles from this corrupted text. And in our text in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed. And that's important as people, these people that I've spoken with who want to support the perversions, they say, but any one of the, they don't call them perversions, but any one of the translations has enough truth that a person can get saved through it. But this verse tells us, being born again, not of corruptible seed. So if you have a perversion, you have corruptible seed. God says that we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. So we have to have the Word of God in order to be saved. And we are seeing the reality of that when you look at most of the people who claim to be Christians. I received an email this week from a man who loves Joseph Prince. Joseph Prince, I believe, comes from Singapore. He's a very popular man. He travels the world. He's a false teacher. He teaches his followers to speak in tongues. He teaches his followers that if you're sick, you personally do the Lord's Supper by yourself in your house for healing. That's against the scriptures. That's heresy. And this man follows that. And he was talking to me how that I'm wrong and he's right. Well, okay, have it your way. You'll find out. But that's the problem that we're facing today, is that there are so many people who are willing to listen to heretics because they have a large following. People are more impressed with numbers than they are with truth. And that's a problem. And in John chapter 6, we read there that Jesus had many disciples. And when he taught them of the importance of eating his flesh, then most of them left him. He was left with the 12. And he asked them if they were going to leave him as well. So when you look at Jesus' ministry, when he died on the cross, there were only 11 disciples. And from that, Christianity spread out across the world. So the people that are so impressed with numbers, they should read their Bible a little bit more, and they would understand that numbers doesn't prove anything. Truth is what is important. So Peter goes on here, and he reminds us of what this incorruptible seed is. It's the Word of God. And you notice that it's a seed. And what does a seed do? It sprouts and it grows. So the seed of God's Word, which is God's Word, lands in the heart, is applied to the heart of the repentant sinner, and then it grows in that person. And that's why, as we live as Christians, we become more Christ-like. That's again why the new evangelical crowd is so wrong, that people can be saved year after year, claiming to be saved, but still exemplifying the world. One of my devotionals this week, I wrote about a man, I think his name is Sean Feucht, F-E-U-C-H-T. A very popular man in recent times. I don't know if you've heard of him or not, but he's traveling around. He was in Calgary just recently. He goes around and he holds modern-day crusades. He has his rock bands with him. He's a long-haired freak himself, and he holds a Bible in his hand. I'm not sure which perversion he uses, but he gets up there on the stage and has other people joining him, gullible people. And they talk about the revivals that are happening due to his performances. And yes, they show the crowd. Hundreds of people are there, hands in the air, tears rolling down their cheeks, getting on their knees, doing all kinds of things, and they call that a revival. And yes, it's a revival, but not of truth. It's a surrendering to false teaching. It's an emotional hype. It's just like the rock musicians used to say years ago that when they started playing their rock music, it was just like an LSD trip. It had the same effect on them. And that's what we're seeing today with these false teachers, that they are getting the people drunk on poison. And the people are willingly receptive to it because they're hungry for change. They're just not listening to God and seeking the truth. So our work, the work of saved people, is very important and very necessary and very urgent, because deception is on the increase, not on the decrease. It's on the increase today. And we need to be faithful and not be discouraged, but continue to live right and speak the truth and leave the results in God's hands. So God's word is a seed, as the parable of the sower talks about the seed that fell on the different types of ground. And that's what we find today, that as we talk to people, they don't all respond favorably. In fact, the majority, if you look at the sower and the seed, there's four types of ground. If they don't, we know that if we are teaching the truth, it's the truth. And we don't know what that truth is going to do in the heart of that person over time. We could be dead before some of those people get saved. So it's not up to us to manipulate people to try to get them to pray a prayer. It's up to us to be faithful in giving out the word and let God do his work in saving people. So not only is it the word of God, but it says also liveth and abideth forever. God's word is never out of date, never loses its power, always accomplishes his purposes. It will do one of two things. It will bring a person, break the person, and bring him to salvation, or it will cause the person to be offended and to fight against it. And in the time in which we are living, we are seeing an increasing of the fight against the truth. And so it's important for us to understand that again, our duty is not to get the person to pray the prayer. Our duty is to be faithful and let the Holy Spirit do his work. And if the person is truly under conviction, that person will bow their knee and be saved. In Jeremiah chapter 36, Jeremiah 36 and verse 23. We see how Jehudi, it says there, and it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth, until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. So there have been people, and that's just one example of people who have tried to destroy the word of God. And this is talking about a Jewish king, that the scriptures had been hidden for a while already. This is during the time of Jeremiah. The scriptures had been hidden because the king was supposed to write him a copy of the word of God. He was to read it every day and to meditate upon it every day. Obviously, the king was not doing that. And so the scriptures were found and they were brought before the king. And Jehudi, who was his scribe, he read it. And as he read it, the king cut them out and threw them in the fire. But that was only a copy of God's word. It was not the root piece of God's word. Forever, O Lord, forever thy word is settled in heaven. So God's word is settled, and if they are destroyed, he can always send another copy. God's word will never be destroyed from the earth. It's always going to be here because God is in charge. In 2 Kings chapter 22, verses 8 to 11, says there, and Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. Now, again, the word of God had been put away. It was not being read. And here they're doing work to repair the temple. They find the book of the law, and they tell the king. This king had a different response, and he repented. And he shows that in verse 11, he rent his clothes. He realizes that what has been going on is wrong. And this is King Josiah, who became king at 8 years of age. And he has a different heart towards the word of God than the other king did. So God's word is effective. It's never going to be destroyed. We're living about 6,000 years from the time of creation, and God's word is still around. Many books have been destroyed, many Bibles have been burned, but the word of God is still around today, and it will always be around because God is in charge. It's the same thing as the evolutionist who says that dinosaurs are extinct. The only way that you could say that absolutely is if you had somebody standing on every square inch of the earth and saying there's no dinosaur here. And there are people in the third world countries who talk about big birds that fly overhead. And they're not jets. And there are big creatures that they talk about as well. So are dinosaurs extinct? Likely not. There's far less of them than there were at one time, but they're still around. But more importantly than a dinosaur can't save you. But more important than that is that God's word will always be around. It's never going to be destroyed. And that's important for us to understand that and to have our confidence in God's word. So in 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter, chapter 1 and verse 16, it says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. So I mentioned before Joseph Prince, you could take Kenneth Copeland, you could take Joyce Myers, Benny Hinn, a slew of individuals who have cunningly developed their heresies. They've used trickery. They have pictures that they have taken of people supposedly getting healed. They show people being slain in the spirit. They get up there and they start babbling, and they say they're speaking in tongues when it is noise, and all kinds of things that they do, and they impress people by it. People put their minds in neutral. They watch that stuff and say, wow, this has to be from God. And then the sadder thing is that the people watching, they say, I wish I could do that. And so they try. And of course, the devil is more than happy to begin to influence them, and he gives them the ability to babble as well. They become like little children. When you listen to a little child, it's making noises, but you can't hear what it's saying. You don't know what it's saying. Many mothers can understand their child at that time because they spend so much time and they get to understand what a certain noise a child is making is referring to. But it's not words, but they learn that. And so the false teachers and the false practicers, they're just babbling, and then someone comes along and says, well, this is what they said, because the devil wants to keep people in the dark. So he'll give them imaginary interpretation of what is being done, and gullible people will buy it. They'll say, oh, wow, this is quite something. So Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 1, is reminding the readers, including us, that the message that he had, speaking there of the transfiguration, that's what he's speaking of first of all, and he's talking about that, and he's talking about that he was not following cunningly devised fables. They were eyewitnesses. They saw it themselves. They didn't dream it up. They saw it themselves. It's recorded in the Gospels. And then based on that, Peter went on and said in verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. So we have something more important than what Peter saw there. Peter was given just a small piece of the Word of God. And we have the entire Scriptures that we can study. We can know the truth. And if people would just do that, if they would just take the Bible and study it, and if you hear something like what Joseph Prince says, look into the Scriptures. Don't take a verse out of its context and allow some smooth talker convince you of what it's saying. Read it for yourself. Of course, you need to be saved in order to have discernment as to what it is saying. And if you're not saved, well, then you're going to fall for either his lies or some other false teacher's lies, because you don't have that ability. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tells us that you cannot understand the Scriptures because they're spiritually discerned. And so that is why it's so important to know the truth. So as I mentioned already, we have a more sure word. It's never going to be corrupted. And that's the promise that we have. That's the blessing that we have. You and I today can believe in the same God that Peter believed in. We can know him, and we can be sure that what we're reading is the truth if we take the Word of God. So the Scriptures in 2 Peter chapter 1 are called prophecy. And in that passage, three times you find that word prophecy. In verse 19, more sure word of prophecy. In verse 20, that no prophecy of the Scripture. Verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old time. So the prophecy is something that is foretold. It's something that was proclaimed in the past, which has application to the future. And the prophets, the true prophets, were men of God, holy men of God. So what they said was not something that they just came up with on their own. They didn't have some spare time, decided to write something. They wrote as God directed them. So we can count on it because it comes from the mouth of God. So again, that's inspiration. It comes right from God, and comes to us as people. So we're out of time again, and so we'll stop there and carry on there next time. But God wants us to have confidence in His Word. In the midst of all the deceivers that are out there, we can have confidence if we believe in God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're thankful again that we have Thy Word. We're thankful that we have a loving and gracious God who wants us to know the truth and is able to protect Thy Word against the many onslaughts that there have been over the centuries, people who have tried to deceive, and yet Thy Word is still available. We pray for the many today who are deceived, the many who are following false teachers, and they seem to be quite happy in doing so. They lack the ability to understand that they're being lied to. They're not willing to listen to Thee. We pray that we could help at least some of them to know the truth, to build their lives on the truth, to be set free from sin, and know Thy peace and blessing. May Thy will be accomplished here. We pray that others would see the importance of joining us to know the truth and have Thy peace in their hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.